Would you please stand? Please do be seated. And a welcome to St. Margaret's Church. I'm the Reverend Mike Bissett. And it was my privilege over the last few years to have got to know Jill a little bit. It will come out later, I know. But the thing that stands out for me about Jill were her faith and her bravery. I remember meeting with David and Jill in their garden, I guess a year ago, I suppose, just to talk through what Jill wanted for the service today. A very brave thing to do. And the service today reflects both her faith and her courage. And of course, our service this afternoon is set within the context of a God who is extraordinary. He loses nothing, forgets no one. So yes, we have lost Jill, but he has not. Our own William Penn, many hundreds of years ago, wrote this. He said, "We give back to you, O God, those whom you gave to us. You did not lose them when you gave them to us, and we do not lose them by their return to you." Jill understood that very, very clearly. And so our service today is set within that context. As we sit, let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have not made us for darkness and death, but for life with you forever. Without you, we have nothing to hope for. With you, we have nothing to fear. Speak to us now your words of eternal life. Lift us from the anxiety and guilt to the light and peace of your presence, and set the glory of your love before us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So these are all Jill's favourite hymns. Our first one, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made. And of course, all about Jill's love of nature. So we stand to sing.
I see the stars.
Would you please be seated as Penny and then Emma come out with our readings.
The reading which my sister Jill chose is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
The second reading is from Peter, chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. Praise to God for a living hope. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven geniuses of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him, you now believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Thanks be to God.
Now we're going to sing a more contemporary version of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. So the words and the thoughts are familiar. If you don't know the tune, well, you will by the end. So we stand to sing, The Lord's My Shepherd.
To know, and I will trust in you alone.
Please be seated. I'm aware on occasions like this that if we have had the opportunity, we'd be here for several days sharing stories about Jill. And I will get onto the script in a minute, so don't worry about that. But just this morning, I was talking to someone who had a child with learning disabilities who comes to our Sunday school here. And Jill took a real special care and an interest in this lad. And she was just very, very, this is the mother I was talking to, was so grateful to Jill, just because for Jill's heart for this lad. So this is the proper script, so we're back on track now. So Gillian was born on the 15th of May, 1949. To parents Russell and Elizabeth Forian in Hitchin in Hertfordshire. She lived in Letchworth Garden City for her first 3 years. After her sister Penny was born, the family moved to West Bridgeforth in Nottingham, where her father was senior food and hygiene inspector. Well, God, as we know, gifted Jill with an innate love and passion for the world and for nature. Her early memories include playing with lizards in the garden and scrambling into the chicken shed to talk to her feathered friends. I guess that's about the age she was on the back of the order of service. Jill especially loved time with her dad, compiling his stamp album and inquiring about all the far-flung countries with exotic names. He took her to nearby Trent Bridge regularly to see England play cricket, and on one occasion fielded a ball struck by the great West Indies captain, Garfield Sobers. Getting signed autographs in the chip shop after the match was another high moment in her young life. Her parents always encouraged education, and Jill excelled in geography, history, PE, and English literature. Why are we not surprised at that? Of course, being given a Kodak Brownie camera started her lifelong passion for photography, which continued throughout her life. And until recently, she was an active member of the Amersham Photographic Club. On leaving school after sixth form, Jill attended teacher training college at Eastbourne and chose to teach young children. This was a vocation she excelled at, helping them to read and write, encouraging parents with carefully chosen books and word and number cards to take home. Her father tragically died suddenly when she was just 21 years old, and this had a devastating impact on her life. Jill married her then boyfriend, Alan, and they were together for 10 years. Regrettably, they were not suited to a lifetime together, and he left soon after their son Richard was born. Rachel and Richard were the children she had dreamed of, and she often reminded them that their births were the happiest occasions of her life. Jill brought them up single-handed and determined to give them the best education and life adventures that she could possibly manage. Each Sunday was a family day, going to church, pocket money, treats, and outdoor adventures. Both of them gained a lifelong passion for walking and the countryside. They lived in Enfield, and Jill taught at a nearby Latimer Church of England primary school in Edmonton, where she had the privilege of bringing the numerous ethnicities together. They would welcome, celebrate, respect, and recognize each other. And when she was given responsibility for geography, the theme was sustainability and growing awareness of global warming. At age 51, she met widower David at a church visit, and romance blossomed. She lovingly welcomed David's children into the family, and Matt and Charlie were soon firm friends. Her first ever aeroplane flight was to Madeira with David, and she quickly caught the travel bug, big time. Well, David and Jill married in 2003 and moved to Penn, where she resumed teaching reception class until retiring at the age of 60. St. Margaret's Church here became the centre of their spiritual and social lives, and Jill joined the select band of dedicated individuals teaching Sunday school and making it fun. Life, of course, included Alfie, the Airedale Terrier, can't forget him, who was to Jill a constant source of comfort and chaos in equal measure. After retirement, the couple saw as much of the world as they could fit in, with Jill always centering on nature, be it waterfalls, mountain peaks, river deltas, deserts, or safari parks. And the 87 A4 photo albums give a magnificent reminder of the beautiful world that God created. Spare time included a spell of voluntary work with the Wickham Homeless Connection, where she would spend time with those whose needs were complex and tragic. Jill's energy, of course, centered on her four children and four grandchildren, whom she adored in equal measure. And so a week's holiday in a rented house for all 12 family members in glorious Devon was the highlight of recent years. And despite her long and at times painful battle with cancer, her goal was to see her fifth grandchild, Isabel, born. Isabel's not going to join in at this point. No, Isabel's asleep. She achieved this on the 8th of February and held her in her arms with great adoration. Jill's Christian faith was strong and never wavered. Jesus granted to her the peace and freedom from pain she prayed for, and she looked forward to meeting with loved ones from the past as well as those still on earth. Jill was truly a lovely human being. I'm going to invite Richard and Rachel out with their reflections. Is it that order? Yeah. No, Rachel, then Richard, it looks like, yeah.
We have millions of wonderful memories of Mum, obviously. And since Mum's passing, the number of kind messages, cards, letters sent has been overwhelming, along with everybody who's taken time to come here today. And it just shows how many more wonderful memories there are beyond all the memories that we have ourselves in the family, from all the friends and family from near and far that have come and, you know, sent the letters and messages, and from all different parts and stages of her life. Just go a little bit about me and Richard's childhood, I think, just to remember Mum. Mum was devoted to Richard and I, and she put her everything into giving us a lovely, secure, healthy and enriched childhood. And she later extended this love to Charlie and Matt when she met and then married David, just as we were all entering adulthood, and also to our husband and wives, you know, Alex and Catherine. She focused strongly on supporting us in our childhood of having a good education, working hard, going to good schools, and also enjoying the great outdoors, both on a, you know, a day-to-day weekend basis and for our holidays, which were usually around the UK and later to France, where she bravely drove us and did amazing. We would go on we'd go to woodlands and to parks at the weekends, like Trent Park and Grovelands Park and Enfield, the Lee Valley, and on holidays to, you know, Cornwall, Devon, Wales, Hastings, Yorkshire, Lake District, and many other places. We would visit beaches, do lots of fun things, climb some serious mountains. On these holidays, I remember the sandwiches were always sandy and the squash was always warm from the sun, but this meant we got to go away and we had so many adventures, so much activity and opportunity to explore and play and have amazing life enriching experiences. Mum was really good at telling stories at bedtime. I would make up exciting, magical stories on these holidays, which tied in with the castles, beaches and mountains that we would be visiting. We also went on trips to Nottingham, where Mum grew up, to see Mum's sister Penny and our cousins Tristan and Tamsin, who she loved also. Mum always strived to live a really healthy lifestyle. She was always active, always eating healthy, and offered us the same, which I try to do now with my own children, with Mum's grandchildren. Mum showed how a parent can put children first, making them a number one priority, and she did everything to give us amazing opportunities. She showed us, as she role modelled to us, being a working parent as she worked full-time as the teacher in the primary school, and juggling hard, both was hard. After work, she would then drive us around to various activities and clubs most nights and at weekends, which meant we could develop skills, passions, talents, which have lasted a lifetime. For us, you know, she committed to us, taking us to Cubs, guides, swimming, gymnastics multiple times a week, training, competitions, dance, football, and many other ones. And these are things that I think me and Richard can still do, you know, appreciate now. I still think I can do gymnastics. I can't, but I try. But it's from that, you know, that commitment from her just taking us week after week, day after day, for years and years. You know, I personally get really tired in the evening, and she did as well, but she still did that for us. And as we got older, she would sometimes pick us up from the pub to make sure we got home safe. And all that commitment and driving around just shows me how much she put us first, how committed she was, and I try to do the same with my own children. Mum used to make us birthday cakes, and the creations were wonderful. I particularly loved her making Thomas the Tank Engine egg cakes, which you'd use from tin cans as cake molds, and licorice for the wheels and funnels, and I just thought they were particularly amazing, and I don't think people do that anymore. But it was just so creative, and did it just to make our childhoods really fun. Part of the reason I remember so much about my childhood is not just the memories on their own, but as said earlier, her passion for photography and capturing all these moments, memories, and beautiful scenes of nature and interest that we went to. Mum showed us what true unconditional love is by a parent, and this is something I take forward to my own children, and they will be able to pass on to the next generation. This is something neither me nor Richard have ever had any question about. The love was unconditional. In 2009, I helped Mum join Facebook, as I bluntly told her if she wanted to see my photos regularly, that's where I put them. After that, whenever I posted photos, I would later see I had about 25 notifications, and it would be my darling mum, clearly my number one fan, had gone through every single photo, like, so it would completely fill up my notification box. And then she'd be quick to phone me if she didn't like something I posted as well. I'd be told off. There's a certain way she'd tell me off as well. When Mum's grandchildren were born, she was keen to be involved in parts of their lives. My children, Tom and Anna, absolutely loved their granny. And even with the limits of the last few years from Mum's illness coupled with COVID, they always look forward to seeing her, spending time with her, chatting, and just being together. So I asked Tom what he would want to say about what he loved about granny, and he just said, just being with her. You know, he didn't need to be specific, it didn't need to be activity related, it was just being together. It's been the same for Evie and Nate, who are Matt and Catherine's children. They've all felt the same unconditional love that Richard and I received as children and beyond. Before COVID, all of the adult children and the grandchildren would go on holidays together and trips to farms and fun places with Mum and David, just all the time. I mentioned Isabel in mine, Richard mentions Isabel in hers, but it is just really special what happened. When we found out last year that Charlie was expecting Isabel, Mum was so happy. It was something she absolutely really, really wanted for Charlie. And obviously we were all really happy, but it didn't seem realistic to believe that they would ever meet, didn't seem that realistic that they'd ever meet each other. It seemed like a too far off hope, given Mum's prognosis at the time. So it was absolutely amazing then that they did. And obviously she was born last month, the 8th of February, and they met once at home and for the second and final time at the hospital, where I feel Mum had her last happy moment. She was suffering at this point, but she pulled through her last bit of strength to smile, to touch Isabel, reach to her, and enjoy this moment. And then she asked for a photo, which was so typical of her. And then sort of she went back to, you know, sort of her end of life being ill then. But I think that's just something I think we'll really remember. These last photos are so precious and mean everything. I'm so grateful for Mum and David's relationship and what this meant for us and the strong, close family we've grown to become. Their relationship has been aspirational and their love for each other was that of absolute love and devotion. Mum's diagnosis of cancer was the beginning of 2019, but by about around July last year, the active treatment of cancer came to an end and we had to come to terms with this being terminal. And this has been a particularly emotional time since. The last 8 months allowed us to have that time to say everything we wanted to say and be in complete peace with each other. It was a time when our close relationships could be taken to another level, and just that we were able to say everything we wanted to say and reflect on this and talk more about it. Mum made a lot of preparations for her passing, and I live every great day grateful that there was this time to have all these conversations with her. Mum wrote a declaration or a prayer, which she sent me a few days before she died, and asked that I shared it with the other adult children when I thought the time was right. At the time, I didn't want to receive it, and I didn't know that her end was so near. I shared this on the morning of the 26th of February, and by that evening, she passed away, having had all of us be with her that day, and myself, Richard, and David when she passed. I reread her words to her a few times, and it helped all of us have an understanding of where she was at and make sense of things spiritually. I've reread her words to myself also many times and feel Mum wrote them so beautifully and with her faith in Christianity, making sense of what was about to happen. And I feel it's something I'd share because I just think her words were so beautiful. Jesus, when you decide that my body is worn out and it's time to take me home, so be it. Please make it peaceful. I will come to you with joy, knowing that it is your will. I look forward to the peace, praise, and whatever you have waiting for me. I would like to meet past loved ones and look forward to being with one still on earth now. I'm truly sorry for my innumerable sins and give myself wholly to my Saviour and Lord. I put into your loving hands, especially with those I love, David, Rachel, Richard, Tom, Anna, Alex, Evie, Nate, Catherine, Charlie, Isabel, Penny, Tristan and Tamsin. May they use these memories of me with joy. And that was like with her. I just felt that gave so much sense of spiritually what was happening as she passed away. So yeah, Mum was a person who gave us so much love and was loved by all of us. Thank you.
Right. The proudest day of my life was walking my mother down the aisle. It represented a turning point in all our lives. 2 years earlier, Rachel had left university while I left 10 days before the wedding, only to come back on the 18th of October 2003 for the honour of giving my mother away. Me, my mother and my sister were a small unit. We all celebrated Christmases and special occasions with family, but we were never far from the sacrifices Jill made to hold us together as units of three. Family holidays were budgeted, trouser knees patched up and patched up after playing football, and Atari video games pirated off our cousins. The sacrifices yielded benefits. Every year revolved around a family summer holiday, at first hiking, hostels and nature trips around the UK, and later adventure camps in France. It was the highlight of every year. Certainly, for the first half of my life, the children came first, and from this platform of love and support, myself and Rachel were given the tools and opportunities to pursue our dreams. Back to the wedding. It was the proudest day of my life and an honour to walk my mother down the aisle and literally pass the baton for her happiness over to David. Jill loves me and Rachel more than anything in the world, and from my first day to her last, we never doubted the pride and love she had for us. But after 20 years of hard graft parenting and kids safely packed off to university some 200 miles away, it was time to pursue our adult dreams. It was the start of Jill's new chapter to build the next stage of her life. This started off with the basics, a gorgeous, in Jill's words, husband, and loving husband, and a family home fit for the inevitable grandkids. Then the real fun started. As Gillian and David Winder, as they were now, went on cruises around the Caribbean, safaris in Africa, and survived an earthquake in Wellington. All amazing experiences, but Jill would bring to a halt in the middle of the day to take that perfect picture in all the places she dreamed of as a small girl. But it was the life Jill and David built in Penn that I think she loved the most, or more specifically, watching the family grow Christmas after Christmas. From the early days of me, Rachel, Charlie and Matt, then welcoming Alex and Catherine into the family. That's six kids, for those keeping up at the back. And of course, where there are marriages, there are grandkids. Tom, Evie, Anna, Nate, and 10 days before Jill's passing, baby Isabel. So that's another 12 including David in total of us. And the family home in Penn is where these disparate families would meet, and always with the invitation to do some gardening or technical assistance, if only could be pulled away from the kids long enough. Every Christmas, the Winder family table would be extended, new seats found, chores assigned, and high chairs pulled out of the garage to allow everybody to dote on the family's newest members. And I know one of Jill's dreams was to have a large and loving family, and especially to know her grandkids in a way that her parents tragically could not. I take comfort knowing how happy and proud my mother was of every single one of us, and how proud she was to call us family. At the end, my mother was looking for the next milestone, and as mentioned, she was just fighting to stay on to meet baby Isabel. To think that how we started as a family of three, and in the end, the entire family was struggling to rotate through the hospital's visitor limits, that we started as three, but Jill leaves behind a family of 12 who all felt her love. So David and Jill's wedding day, it was the turning point. I don't think my mother would ever have dreamed how full her life would have become, that the next 20 years would be a celebration of the children, travel, and David that she loved. And to also know how this story ends, with constant home visits from the family, grandkids running around, and the ever-present call of, David! Thank you very much. Picture.
I've somehow got to bring us back down to earth after that. Just want to say that the reading that we had earlier from John chapter 14, which Gillian wanted for this service, speaks of Jesus going ahead of us to prepare a place for us, and of him coming back to take us with him. So it's not a set of instructions on how we move from this life to the next, but it's the offer of his hand, his presence to be with us. It's a momentous thing to claim, the certainty of resurrection after death. But then the whole thing is founded on the momentous truth that none other than the very Son of God dies on the cross for our sin and is then raised to life again by God. And it happens that way for Jesus, because that is how it happens for us. That was the point of the resurrection. So this, for Jill, is the beginning of a greater adventure with God. It's only just begun for Jill. Now, Jill was a member of David's home group, so she must have been tough to have survived that. And David's going to lead us in prayer now. Thank you.
So let us pray. God of mercy, Lord of life, you have made us in your image to reflect your truth and light. We give you thanks for Jill, for the grace and mercy she received from you, for all that was good in her life, for the memories we treasure today. You promised eternal life to those who believe. Remember for good this your servant Jill, as we also remember her. Bring all who rest in Christ the fullness of your kingdom, where sins have been forgiven and death is no more. Your mighty power brings joy out of grief and life out of death. look in mercy on David, Rachel and Richard, Matthew and Charlotte, Tom and Anna, Evie and Nate, and of course, Isabel, and all who mourn. Give them patient faith in times of darkness. Strengthen them with the knowledge of your love. Lord, we know that life can never be the same again. The one we loved has been taken from us. And we're conscious of an acute loneliness and inner emptiness. Yet we know, Lord, that we're not alone, for you are with us, and that Jill is safe in your keeping. And we know that death is not the end, and that life is still full of meaning. For your promises cannot fail, and your love is unchanging. You are tender towards your children, and your mercy is over all your works. Heal the memories of hurt and failure. Give us the wisdom and grace to use aright the time that is left to us here on earth, to turn to Christ and to follow in his steps in the way that leads to everlasting life. So God of mercy, entrusting into your hands all that you have made and rejoicing in our communion with all your faithful people, we make our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. And so, take up our sheets, and as our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Should have mentioned at the beginning that the service is being live streamed on Facebook, and so if you have those who weren't able to be here, if you go to Facebook and search for St. Margaret's Tyler's Green, you'll find the service, and there are two people watching, so hello. Our next hymn, In Christ Alone. What God touches, he brings to life, and what God does, he does well, extremely well, and that alone is the source of our confidence and why we can sing the words of our next hymn. We stand to sing.
Oh,
we now come to the prayer of committal, and we remain standing. It's a mark of respect for Jill. Heavenly Father, by your mighty power, you gave us life. And in your new love, you have given us new life in Christ Jesus. So we entrust Gillian to your merciful keeping in the faith of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who died and rose again to save us and is now alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit in glory forever. Amen. And so on our heads and houses, the blessing of God. On our coming and going, the peace of God. In our life and believing, the love of God. And at our end and a new beginning, the arms of God to welcome us and to bring us home. Amen.